And now, live from Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is the WGN Radio Theater with Carl Amari.
Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Yes, it's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Countdown for blast-off. X minus one.
Richard Diamond, private detective.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
December 6th, 2015. This is the WGN Radio Theater, program 35, Lisa Wolf. So definitely over 6 months.
Yes, and we've made it this far. So
so far so good.
So far so good.
Yes, indeed. Mike Estella, our executive producer across the council from me, and the best in the business, Dan Long, our producer in the booth. Hi, Dan. How's it going?
Good evening, Carl. What's happening?
All right. How are you doing? Everything good?
It's okay.
Yeah? All right. Mike, how are you?
I'm very good.
And Lisa, you're looking vivacious. Isn't
good.
It?
Yeah, it's
I've used
great.
It before, but it's a good word. It has all a right. lot of va-va in it.
I know.
It.
You don't have too, many, too many adjectives, so it's okay to use the same ones over
you're
and
very
over.
Very vivacious.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
And this is WGN. We were just saying, this is our radio show. We have a radio show on WGN.
I know. We sit here in the Allstate Showcase studio. Going, I can't believe we're here, and it's 35 weeks, and we're still here, so it's a good sign.
I know. I just it's a dream come true to be on this legendary station playing classic radio shows. That's what we do here every Sunday night from 11 p.m. until 2 a.m. Monday morning. We play classic radio from the 1930s, 40s, and 50s, all your favorite shows, including what we're going to play tonight. We have the Bing Crosby Christmas show. We have a Sherlock Holmes Christmas show. And then we have a My Friend Irma Christmas show. And you might say, why is that? Well, because we're playing Christmas programming all the way till Christmas here on WGN Radio Theater.
It is December, so yeah. It is the season.
That's what we're going to do every single year. You know, we play holiday shows during the holidays. We played Thanksgiving shows at Thanksgiving. We played scary shows at Halloween. And we'll, of course, play Christmas shows. We're going to play some New Year's shows for New Year's. And we'll play a Valentine's Day show because Jack Benny was born on Valentine's Day. Did you know that?
I did know that.
Yeah. Pretty good. You're learning this this whole gig.
Yes. It's taken
Not
me
bad.
35 weeks, but I'm with you.
All right. Well, that's what we do here, play classic radio. And it's all brought to you by our sponsor, Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop. Brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This film director, producer, and actor will direct a movie adaptation of the J.P. Delaney thriller The Girl Before, about a woman who falls in love with the house and the man who designed it, only to discover that another woman died at the house 3 years earlier.
Okay, so the celebrity that Lisa is talking about that we would like you to identify is heard here in this TV comedy show from the 1960s.
Hi, Paul.
Hi, son.
I was wondering if by any chance you might need a person to clean the garage and do odd jobs around.
All right. If you know who that is, that who is now a very famous director, call us at 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. You'll win two tickets to see Bad Jews at the Royal George Theater, and I hear it's the funniest show in town.
It's a terrific show, Carl.
Yeah. Give us a call, 312-981-7200. We'll find our Celebrity Scoop winner after these words.
This is the WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's hear that clip again.
Hi, Paul.
Hi, son.
I was wondering if by any chance you might need a person to clean the garage and do odd jobs around.
And we have Ed on the line from Marionette Park. Hey, Ed.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great. Do you know that? Do you know that voice on that from that show?
Yeah, I do. I listen to, or I actually watch every episode of that show over and over, and that's Ronnie Howard.
You are right, from The Andy Griffith Show. I used to watch it as well, and of course he'll be directing the new thriller, The Girl Before, and you are a winner, Ed. You've won two tickets to see Bad Jews at the Royal George Theater's Cabaret Studio. It's running through December 27th. You can visit them at badjewschicago.com. I saw the show, Ed. It's a lot of fun. Everybody loves the show, so I hope that you will love it as well.
Oh, we will. Thank you very much.
Oh, terrific. Enjoy it.
Way to go, Ed. Merry Christmas to you. Okay, it is time to start our classic radio lineup. We have three shows tonight. The Bing Crosby Show, The Adventures of Sherlock Holmes with Basil Rathbone and Nigel Bruce, and then My Friend Irma with Marie Wilson. But first, it's The Bing Crosby Show. This was, of course, a musical variety show. It starred Harry Lillis Bing Crosby, who was born May 3rd, 1903. His trademark bass baritone made him one of the best-selling recording artists of the 20th century, over a half a billion records in circulation that Bing Crosby sung. And he was really the first multimedia star. From 1931 to 1954, he was a leader in record sales, his radio ratings and motion picture grosses, all three of those things. And he was an Academy Award winner for playing Father O'Malley in Going My Way in 1944, so he was a big movie star as well. And his Irving Berlin hit, White Christmas, sure, sold over 100 million copies. And his radio career was from 1931 till 1962. His TV career from 1950 to 1965. He died at the age of 74 in 1977. And you know what? He loved to play golf. And here's the interesting thing. He loved to play golf. He died right after playing 18 holes of golf. So he died a happy man, I guess.
Right. At least he had something he loved to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. It's time for a Bing Crosby radio show. And interestingly, which is your favorite word, on this show, he has all of his boys, the Crosby boys, Dennis, Lindsay, Philip, and Gary, and his wife, Dixie Lee Crosby, are his guests on this Christmas show from December 20th, 1950. It's sponsored by Chesterfield, but we've removed all of the Chesterfield commercials. Heard on CBS, part one now of the Bing Crosby Show.
Someone waits for me.
This is Ken Carpenter welcoming you to the Bing Crosby Show, produced and transcribed in Hollywood with John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, Judd Collins with the Mayors, and Bing's guests, Dixie Lee Crosby and Gary, Dennis, Philip, and Lindsay Crosby. As is Bing's custom at Christmas time, he opens the program with a Dusty Fidelis, and as usual, he will sing it first in Latin and then in English, with a studio audience joining him.
Yes, Ken, I think it would be very fitting, very nice, if our guests here would join in a chorus, second chorus, in Come All Ye Faithful, huh?
Bing, I think it'd be very nice if the home folks listening in all over the world would join in, too.
Oh, it would indeed. Gather round, folks, wherever you may be, and help us sing this eternal hymn.
Adeste fidelis, laeti triumphantes, veni. Veni te adoremus.
Now everybody here and at home in the family key. Thank you very much. Well, it's time, folks, to present our first guest of the evening, a young man with whom I'm associated, shall we say, in a business way, and also socially, too. Mr. Gary Crosby. Would you take a bow, Gary? Thanks, Dad. Gary, John Scott Trotter and Tom Adair have come up with a flashy new arrangement of that old song, Jingle Bells, with parts for you and me and rhythm. As you got your part there?
Yeah.
Is that it? Been studying? You got it done?
Yeah.
That'd be a good opener, don't you think, for you and I to kind of get rolling?
Sure.
Hmm.
Say, Dad, by the way, how'd our record of Sam's Song and Simple Melody go?
Oh, it went very big. Haven't you heard? Sold over 200 copies.
Mm, that's wonderful. Great.
Isn't that grand?
Grand.
I knew you'd be happy. Well, how about getting on with Jingle Bells, huh?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Jingle bells,
jingle bells,
jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Oh, jingle bells,
jingle bells,
jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh, dashing through the snow in a one-horse sleigh. O'er the fields we go, and we're laughing all the way.
Oh, now the bells on bobtail ring, and they're making spirits bright. What fun it is to ride and sing a sleighing song tonight.
Ja-ja-ja-jingle.
What a beautiful day for a ride in a sleigh. Gotta get underway.
Ja-ja-ja-jingle.
Here's a winter time trick, because slick little chicken, you figure to click.
Ja-ja-ja-jingle.
You're a slap happy pair like a square at a fair. Leave your cares and jingle all the way.
Jingle bells, 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 jingle bells.
Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
You got sugar by your side, so jingle.
At that high-stepping mare, take the road by the square, how the fellas will stare.
Ja-ja-ja-jingle.
And you speed out of town, zig and zag like a clown over snow-covered ground.
Ja-ja-ja-jingle.
You're as smug as a bug in the rug, so you stop for a hug and jingle all the way.
Jingle bells, 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 jingle bells.
Oh, what fun it is to ride in a snow and ice fairyland. Oh, but the trip is grand. You've got a winner, just go for a spin in a one-horse open sleigh.
Now, folks, if Ken Carpenter will set the scene, I'd like to move along. I'd like to move you along with us. In fancy, that is, to Christmas Eve, 1950.
Ladies and gentlemen, we now take you to the Crosby home in Beverly Hills, California. It's Christmas Eve, and we find Bing and Gary engaged in a discussion of great importance.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the bells.
Gee, Dad, why do you have to go through this every year?
Never mind. Never mind giving me any beef. Just hand me those red pants.
Dad, why do you insist on playing Santa Claus? What are you trying to prove?
Gary, you're a big boy now. You're grown up. You're sophisticated. You're worldly. We've lost you. But not your little brothers. Why, I wouldn't think of not playing Santa Claus for them. They love it. It's wonderful to see their little faces light up with amazement and happy surprise when I bounce into the room.
They could be acting, you know.
No. I admit I don't convince you anymore, Gary, but your younger brothers are not wise to me yet. And as long as I can make their little eyes dance with glee, I'm going to.
Okay. But I still can't understand why parents insist upon stifling their kids' mental development at this time of the year.
Been reading quick, huh?
Yeah.
Don't argue with Papa Santa Claus on Christmas Eve. That's all I can tell you. You're liable to wind up with an empty stocking. Now, come here. Put my beard on me, if you please, huh?
Yes, sir. There you are.
The beard doesn't go up there. Pull it down over my chin.
Just trying to make your disguise more convincing.
Wise guy. Well, I'm all set. Oh, wait just a minute. Wait just a minute. Santa has to have a big fat tummy. Hand me those two pillows. I'll stuff them in my coat.
I think you can get by with just one pillow this year.
Have no comments. Nick's cracking. Just shove those pillows in my coat.
Yes, sir.
There. That does it. Yes, sir. That's Santa's tummy, all right.
Oh, if those pillowcases spring a leak, we're sure going to have a white Christmas around here.
Come on, let's not think in terms of disaster. Here's the plan, Gary. Here's what I want you to do. You go out in the living room. You get everyone assembled, you see. Then I'll sneak out around the house. I'll come in the living room window with my bag of presents.
Why don't you come down the chimney like you always do?
Oh, no. Last year I got stuck, you know.
That was the biggest laugh you ever got.
Well, I didn't laugh.
Are we going to sing Christmas carols tonight, Dad?
We certainly are, right after we distribute the presents. While everybody's putting their gifts under the tree, I'll sneak out, change my clothes, then we'll go out and we'll sing for our friends. You know, like we always do for the friends and the neighbors.
Yeah. I better go in the living room now and soften everybody up for your entrance.
Good, do that, will you? And Gary, when I come in the window, I do wish that you'd work up just a little enthusiasm, a little surprise, huh?
Oh, don't worry. My little eyes will just dance with glee. I may even fall into a faint.
Now, don't... Try to win the Academy. Don't overdo it. Uh-oh. Nick's out. It's the twins.
Hi, Gary.
Hi, Gary.
What are you fellas doing in here?
Oh, just snooping around. Hey, who's the guy in the red suit?
That's Santa Claus, you dumbbell.
Why, I'll bet these are the twins, little Dennis and little Philip.
Hey, he knows us, Phil.
I was just asking Gary if you fellas had been good little boys this year.
You didn't squeal, did you, Simple Melody?
No. As a matter of fact, I was just telling Santa what dear, sweet little children you were.
You can go by what this boy says, Santa. He's very reliable.
Now, come on, fellas. Let's go in the other room. Goodbye, Santa. See you later, I
hope. Oh, yes, 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 indeed.
Goodbye, Santa. Bye, Mr. Claus. It's been a pleasure.
Bye, boys. Bye. It's been nice seeing you.
Gee, Santa Claus is certainly a wonderful man, isn't he?
Yeah, Pop is tops.
What do you mean, Pop? That was Santa Claus.
Oh, Gary, let's act our age, shall we?
Oh, you guys were wise all the time, huh?
Sure, but if he wants to put on that old hot suit and wear that itchy old beard... It's all right with me. Let him live a little. Sure. Sure, we can stand it if he can.
Well, don't say anything in front of Lenny.
Hey, where is Len? Over there in front of the fireplace, waiting for Santa.
Well, he better turn his chair around and face the window. Santa's making a different entrance this year.
Hi, Len.
Hi, gang.
And that's the first portion of the Bing Crosby Show from December 20th, 1950, Christmas show with Bing and Dixie Lee Crosby and the Crosby Boys, Dennis, Lindsay, Philip, and Gary. Hope you're enjoying this. Some great Christmas music on here, right, Lisa?
I do like the Christmas music.
Yeah, maybe he'll sing White Christmas.
We're singing along here in the
studio. He sang Jingle Bells a little while ago.
I'm just thinking we're so glad that our listeners don't get to hear you singing along.
Oh. Well, you never know. I might.
That's true. You might.
All right, let's take a break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, this is the WGN Radio Theater. Sunday nights from 11 p.m. till 2 in the morning, Monday morning. Lisa Wolf is here with me, Carl Amari, Mike Estella, Dan Long. That is the team here. Oh, we got a little Christmas. Bum, bum. Hey, you said I wasn't going to sing. You never know.
Let's hear it.
No.
If you're going to do it, do it.
Nah, I don't want to. I want people to tune into the show, not tune out of the show.
You know? But you might get your record contract by singing
Christmas
song.
I want a record contract. I wonder if there's anybody out there that would give me a singing record contract.
Carl, show us what you've got. Come on, show me the money here.
Nah, I'll spare you. I'm baiting you
to do it.
Nah.
I'll give you a dollar.
A doll hair?
I'll give you a dollar.
I'll give you a million doll hairs.
No, a real dollar. 99 cents plus 1 cent.
Really?
100
wow.
cents.
If you are a big spender, Lisa.
You know, it's better than no dollars.
This is right. This is true. This is right. This is true.
Go ahead.
No, it's all right. I don't know this song otherwise.
Out.
If it was a song, I would have known.
Yeah, chicken.
Give me
it's
a song.
Bing Crosby. What do you mean you don't know the song?
It's Bing Crosby.
Boom, 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 and David Bowie. Boom,
boom. Oh, really? They're doing like a duet? Like electronically? Or did they do this together?
No, he was still alive. Oh, yeah, they did it together.
So he was like 70-something and then David Bowie. Interesting. Very cool. I like that. You know what else I like? The fact that we have a Facebook page. I've never been on it, but I hear we have a Facebook page.
Well, you've seen it. It's
yeah,
up.
I've seen it.
It's in
I've
front
just
of
never.
Me. If you just go on the Facebook.
I don't believe in technology.
Apparently.
No. So what is it again?
It's WGN Radio Theater.
Ah.
Just go on to Facebook, type in WGN Radio Theater, and here you can let us know what you want to hear. You can see all the pictures of all the actors in these old-time radio shows that we're playing for you, and see a lot of cat pictures for our Cat's Pride contest.
Yeah.
Or you can just say nothing, and we'll say nothing back, because we always respond to
you know
our
what,
listeners.
Though? I do. Lisa is kind enough to read all of these things to me.
I do. Well,
she
only
does.
The good ones. The bad ones, you
she
know,
spares
I hide them.
She
from
spares
them.
Me of the bad ones. Yeah. I don't like bad news.
Yeah, it's pretty much all
you know?
Good.
But I do like Bad Jews at the Royal George Theater.
Bad Jews is exciting. And we will be giving away another set
here
of
it's
tickets
hilarious.
At the top of the hour.
Yeah, in the next hour. So go to our Facebook page. Please like us. We really want to build our likes. We haven't built enough likes on our Facebook page. Really want to do that. Can you do that for us, folks? It'd be a favor to us. When you are on Facebook, please log on to or search for us, WGN Radio Theater, and then just click like because we really want to be liked by you. And also post whatever you want us to play. We will play the classic radio shows you want to hear, all of your favorites. We're happy to do that. We also have a website, very technical. We have a website. We have a Twitter. I think we have an Instagram.
We do have a Twitter at WGN Radio Theater.
Yeah.
We also do have an Instagram. That's a little bit hard for me to keep up with because Lisa is the one who takes all the pictures and such, and she should really be the one doing it on Instagram.
Yeah. Well, okay. There you go, Lisa. He just threw you
I
under the...
I became mute all of
what's
a sudden.
What's the weather like there under the bus?
Yeah.
Pretty good?
All of a sudden, I just lost my words somehow. I have nothing to say to that.
All right. Well, we'll talk about the contest, the Cat's Pride contest, on the next break. Because we got to get into this, the conclusion now of Bing Crosby. This is from December 20th, 1950. Bing and all his gang Christmas show is heard on CBS. Part two, the conclusion of the Bing Crosby show.
Gee, I wish Santa Claus would hurry up. I'm a nervous wreck.
Me too.
Me too.
Lynn, we're going out to sing Christmas songs in a few minutes. Where are your stockings?
I took them off and hung them on the mantel.
I'm certainly glad we have only one hillbilly in the family.
Just shake a little more Fitch's tonic into your beautiful blonde wavy hair and don't worry about me.
Now, boys, it's Christmas Eve. We don't want Santa to catch us in the middle of a brawl. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, boys. Well, you lads look fairly presentable to greet St. Nick.
You look real beautiful, too, Mom.
Thank you, Lynn. And may I inquire why you aren't wearing stockings?
I hung them on the mantel.
So you'll skip right upstairs and get another pair.
Oh, Mom, I don't need stockings.
Honestly, you're getting to be more like your father every day.
I favor Dad, too. In the vocal department, of course.
You know, Gary, sometimes I wish Sam's song had never been written.
I think Mom sings just as good as Dad any day.
Well, bless every single blonde, beautiful, wavy hair in your head.
Hey, look, there's someone at the window.
Wow, it's Santa Claus.
Hooray! God. Gosh, I think I'm gonna faint.
Steady, son.
He's opening the window.
Now, is this the Crosby house?
Yes, sir.
And are there four nice, big, strong, healthy boys here?
Yes, sir. We're plenty strong.
Well, then get over to the window and drag Sandy.
Well, I'm having a little trouble here. Looks like I'm stuck.
I'll help you, Sandy.
We'll get you,
we'll get you in.
Everybody grab a hold and pull.
All together now. Pull.
Easy now. Whoop, whoop, look out. There goes the window shade.
In you come, Santa.
Boy, look at those feathers fly.
Well, so these are the Crosby boys, huh?
That's right, Santa. And all very good boys, too.
Now, let me see here. Which is which? Now, there's Gary. There's Dennis and Philip. And this, oh, this little fella here. Oh, Why, you're Lenny Crosby, as I recall.
And you're Bing Crosby, as I recall.
Good night, Irene.
Me, darn. How'd you know it was me, Lenny?
Your beard went up with the shade.
Look at it dangling up there.
Shall I take it down, Mom?
No, leave it there. Maybe some doves will nest in it.
Man, what a tough time I had getting through that window.
I like it better when you get stuck in the chimney.
I wish you boys would grow up so your poor father wouldn't have to go through this every year.
No, I don't mind. I wouldn't miss being Santa for the world. Say, look, we got to get rolling. It's getting late here. We got to go out and sing some Christmas carols, you remember? You boys want to run through your songs first, kind of sharpen up a little?
We know those songs, Dad.
Huh?
You'd better rehearse, Gary. I don't want you kids running all over the neighborhood singing off-key.
Yes, ma'am.
You lads gather around the piano now and run through all your numbers. I'll go get the Hoover and vacuum up these feathers while you're rehearsing.
I don't want you singing off-key either.
Yes, ma'am.
I guess you and I lead off, Gary. Song called That Christmas Feeling.
I love that Christmas feeling. It does my heart so much good. Strangers I meet all seem like friends, and the world's just a neighborhood. So here's to the joy of Christmas. And here's to the ones I hold dear. May you have that merry Christmas feeling all through a happy new.
got that one in good shape. Now we got a song coming up here from Lindsay. What's your big number this year, Lynn?
I'd like to hitch a ride with Santa Claus.
Well, you go right ahead and hitch that ride.
Care to join me?
Well, thank you very much.
Not at all.
Hang in time. Glad to.
I'd like to hitch a ride with Santa Claus.
Well, wouldn't that be something to see?
I'd like to hitch a ride with Santa Claus, dodging the clouds, waving at crowds. I'd crack the whip and keep a watch for weather vanes.
For weather vanes.
I'd help him with his bag and check his Christmas tag.
Or maybe you could handle the reins.
I'd like to hitch a ride with Santa Claus. Wouldn't they be jealous of me? You couldn't say I ran away, because after we roam,
well, he'll drive you home.
He'll drive you home.
And when they see me Christmas morning, what'll they say with a look of delight? There goes the boy that rode with Santa Claus last night.
Say, Denny, Phil, you ready with your song?
Yes, sir.
What would the title be, please?
We have a song designed for little children, which is called The Snowman.
Designed for little children. Do I detect a note of irony here, revolt or something?
Well, Dad, we think we're too grown up to sing a song like this.
You do, huh?
Yes, we have girls listening in.
Really? Well, I'm sure your girls will understand that you're both sophisticated, experienced men of the world.
Yes, sir.
On a Christmas Eve, a happy snowman stood and dreamed beside a cottage door. How the children loved their friend the snowman, and the funny fedora he wore.
Funny fedora.
When they said goodnight, they told the snowman that a gift for him was on the tree. So he called himself a lucky snowman, just like one of the family was he. The cottage porch looked beautiful and bright. The holly wreath was turned on for the night, when all at once it caught on fire and fell.
He couldn't knock, he couldn't ring the bell.
He couldn't run for help, he couldn't call. But then he had to save the children after all.
After all.
He knew he'd melt away, and yet the snowman threw himself across the burning floor.
How the children miss their friend the snowman,
but they'll always remember him for a heart that was brave, and the joy that he gave,
and the funny fedora he wore.
All together now.
I love that Christmas feeling. It does my heart so much good. Strangers I meet all seem like friends, and the world just a neighborhood. So here
I'd like to hit your ride with Santa Claus.
Wouldn't they be
jealous of me?
Here instead of the ones I hold dear,
he'll drive me home.
Oh,
there goes the boy.
Snyder.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yes, folks, come Christmas Eve, and that's just about what's going to happen up at our house.
And on the cover of Quick Magazine, out tomorrow, there's a picture of you and a caption reading, Bing plays Papa Santa.
But there's just one thing wrong.
What's that?
All my mail is going to the North Pole.
It's tragic. How are you going to get your mail back?
I made a deal with Bob Hope.
Oh?
Next time he passes through there, he's going to pick it up for me.
Robert goes to the North Pole quite often, doesn't he?
He goes everywhere quite often.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm. All is bright round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep.
This program was produced and transcribed in Hollywood. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That is the Bing Crosby Show. Nobody better. He's the most synonymous name with Christmas from the golden age of radio, for sure. And he was just fantastic in movies and radio and television. We love Bing Crosby, and we're so happy to play that Christmas show for you from December 20th, 1950. Much more classic radio coming your way here on the WGN Radio Theater, so stay with us. There's our theme song. It means it's hour two of the WGN Radio Theater. And that's what we have for you now. A whole nother hour plus another hour. Two more hours.
Oh, we're so lucky.
See how I can add?
Yeah.
1 hour and another hour is 2 hours. We have two more hours of classic radio.
Two out of three.
Yeah, not bad. So, yeah, we're only one-third of the way through.
Oh, you're good.
I'm telling you.
He's good.
I wasn't even a math major.
No, he's got his abacus over there.
I do.
He's trying to figure it all out.
Yes, I do. And we have, see, what's in this hour? Oh, boy.
Oh,
the
boy.
New Adventures of Sherlock Holmes. Basil Rathbone, Nigel Bruce. You know, they played these the Sherlock Holmes and Watson in the movies. They're probably the best known actors to play Sherlock Holmes and Watson, and we have a radio broadcast with them in this hour, a Christmas show. Third hour, we're going to tune into My Favorite Husband, great situation comedy, and Marie Wilson plays Irma Peterson on that Christmas story. And we have all Christmas shows coming your way each Sunday night until Christmas here on the WGN Radio Theater. When are we on? Sunday nights from 11 p.m. till 2 a.m.
Okay? Which is now.
Yeah.
And here we are.
And we have a website where you can see what we're playing. We have a schedule on our website. Our website is WGNRadioTheater.com. Just go there and it's there. Lisa makes sure and she cracks the whip,
makes sure
that the schedule is up. She has a
schedule. We've got photos. We've got some information about Carl. It's all good.
She has a whip and a cat of nine tails. She's just
you're pretty good at that.
Not bad.
Sound effect. Yeah. Yeah.
In my other life, I was a sound effects man on these radio shows.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So all of these radio shows are brought to you by our main sponsor, which is Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop. Brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actress is developing a new film about the creation of Barbie, based on the book Barbie and Ruth, the story of the world's most famous doll and the woman who created her.
Wow, is she going to play Barbie in it, I wonder?
She is not, as far as I know.
All right, so this is a very famous celebrity. We want you to guess who it is. And to help out, we have a little clue for you. She starred in a 2001 comedy romance called Legally Blonde.
First of all, I would like to point out that not only is there no proof in this case, but there's a complete lack of mens rea, which by definition tells us that there can be no crime without a vicious will.
All right, so who is that celebrity? Identify that celebrity here on Celebrity Scoop. Call us 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Win two tickets to see Bad Jews at the Royal George Theater. We'll find our winner after this break.
You are listening to the WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's hear that clip again.
First of all, I would like to point out that not only is there no proof in this case, but there's a complete lack of mens rea, which by definition tells us that there can be no crime without a vicious will.
And we have Len on the line. Hey, Len.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm great. Len, can you name that celebrity?
Reese Witherspoon.
It is Reese Witherspoon, and of course, she's developing a film about Barbie. So congratulations, you are correct. And you have won two tickets to see Bad Jews is playing at the Royal George Theater's Cabaret Studio.
I got a question for you.
Yes.
The song White Christmas, what movie did it come out in?
I think it was the Bells of St. Mary?
No.
Okay.
No, I actually know that.
It wasn't White Christmas.
Hmm. What was it?
Holiday Inn.
Yes.
Holiday
Inn.
Yes. Crosby and Fred Astaire.
Yes, that is absolutely correct. Thank you, Len. Thank you for letting us know. And I hope that you enjoy Bad Jews at the Royal George. Check it out at badjewschicago.com. It's a terrific show. You're going to love it.
Oh, great.
Thanks, Len.
Thanks for calling in.
Thanks for listening.
The world-famous WGN Chicago personalized calendars for 2016 are available now in the featured section on WGNRadio.com. This year, Chicago is captured in black and white, presented in a special and one-of-a-kind way in the 2016 2Ks calendar. This is the eighth year for these highly sought-after calendars, and this is the first year it's all black and white. Not only does it feature Chicago landmarks as seen through the lens of our spectacular photographers, but the images are crafted with your name seamlessly blended in. You'll enjoy a view of Chicago that will change the way you look at the city forever. These black and white calendars add a whole new level of class and elegance. Give a gift that is completely 100% original. Go to WGNRadio.com and scroll down to the feature section. Make a purchase of our calendar and a portion of the proceeds benefit JDRF. To make 2016 an epic year, you have to start with an epic calendar, the 2Ks calendar, available in the feature section at WGNradio.com.
All right, it's time for Sherlock Holmes radio broadcast. The Sherlock Holmes series started in 1930, starring Richard Gordon on NBC. But by 1939, Basil Rathbone and Nigel Bruce were simultaneously starring in a popular series of Sherlock Holmes movies for Fox and later Universal. They became really synonymous with the character, and we have a radio broadcast for you now. Christmas show called The Night Before Christmas, December 24th, 1945. Here is Basil Rathbone and Nigel Bruce in the new adventures of Sherlock Holmes.
This episode from the life of Sherlock Holmes will be transmitted to our men and women overseas by shortwave and through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Petri Wine brings you Basil Rathbone and Nigel Bruce, the new adventures of Sherlock Holmes. The Petri family, the family that took time to bring you good wine, invite you to listen to Dr. Watson tell us another exciting adventure he shared with his old friend, that master detective, Sherlock Holmes. And now I'm sure our good friend Dr. Watson's waiting for us, so let's go in and join him.
Come in. There you are, Mr. Bartell.
Oh, say, Doctor, I can see you're going to have yourself quite a Christmas. Big tree in the corner with colored lights on it. Where'd you get those? Table covered with presents? You must be mighty popular.
They aren't all for me, my boy. You see, I'm having a Christmas party tomorrow for my housekeeper's little nieces.
Oh.
I'm going to dress up as Santa Claus for them.
Well, I'm sure you'll look very convincing in the part. Oh, by the way, Doctor, I brought you a little present.
Ooh,
here it is. I hope you'll like it.
Good of you, Mr. Bartell. I got one for you, too, here, Summer. Oh, you mustn't open it until tomorrow. Here you are, my boy.
Thanks a lot, Doctor. And now, how's about tonight's story? Last week, you told us you'd chosen an adventure with a lot of Christmassy atmosphere.
Yes, Mr. Bartell. My story begins on another Christmas Eve many, many years ago. To be exact, in 1886. Time the adventure occurred, I must confess I didn't quite understand what was going on myself. In fact, I never did quite make head or tails of it until Holmes took pity on me later and explained the whole thing. But I shan't try to confuse you, Mr. Bartell. I'll tell you the story exactly as it happened.
Right you are, Doctor. Let's go.
Very well. On that Christmas Eve in 86, I was standing in our Baker Street rooms dressed in the costume of Santa Claus. Holmes, his long, thin fingers pressed together, lay back in an armchair and gazed at me quizzically, while our housekeeper, Mrs. Hudson, stood by the door and...
Dr. Watson, you make a grand Santa Claus.
Doesn't he, Mrs. Hudson? Try the beard on, Watson, old chap.
I'm afraid this is going to be a little uncomfortable. How does it look?
Oh, you look just like the old man on the Christmas cards, Doctor.
Yes, Watson. It really becomes you. The cheery twinkle of the eyes, the ruddy complexion, and the appropriate girth. What a shame we can't obtain some snow and a sleigh and reindeer for you. However, I'm sure Mrs. Hudson's nieces will be very much impressed.
Well, they will that, sir. And it's very kind of you, Doctor, to offer to come over to their house with me. With her father in the hospital and my sister at his bedside, it would have been a very miserable Christmas without me.
Oh, I shall enjoy myself, but I think I'll take this beard off before we get there. That's it. Are you ready to leave, Mrs. Hudson?
I am, sir. Will I get a cab?
How far do we have to go?
Oh, Lexington Gardens, number 28. It's just off the Edgware Road, Doctor.
Well, it's not far, but bearing in mind my costume, I suppose we'd better take a cab.
Aye, sir. I'll get one.
Holmes, what are you going to do with yourself? I hate leaving you alone on Christmas Eve.
Oh, don't worry, old chap. I shall spend a profitable evening writing on my new monograph.
Well, what's this one about?
An analysis of teeth marks on pipe stems, with particular regard to indicated character.
Oh, gracious me, how exciting. Well, I must be going.
Don't forget your sack of presents, Overlock.
Good Scott, no.
When you come to distribute them, you'll find that I took the liberty of adding a few trinkets on my own behalf.
Oh, that's very thoughtful of you, Holmes.
Oh, excuse me, Mr. Holmes, but there's a gentleman to see you. Says he's an old friend of yours. Here's his card, sir.
No, thank you. Oh, it's Lord Whittycombe. Splendid. Ask him to come up, please, Mrs. Hudson.
All right, sir.
And I hope your party is a great success, Mrs. Hudson.
Well, thank you, sir. Are you sure you don't want me to stay now that you have a visitor?
Oh, no. Indeed, no, Mrs. Hudson. I can show the gentleman out myself. You go off and have a good time.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, I wonder what Lord William wants. Perhaps I should stay.
No, please, my dear fellow. Certainly not.
Well?
Yeah, you've far more important work to do. Whittycombe probably wants his revenge at chess. Or something equally innocuous. Off with you, my dear fellow, and enjoy yourself.
Oh, I better go. Just the same, I wish you were coming with me. I'll see you later.
I shall be there. Come on up, Whittycombe.
Hello, Holmes. Oh, evening, Watson. You make a very convincing Santa Claus. Are you leaving?
I'm afraid so, Lord Whittycombe.
Well, good night, then.
Good night, sir.
How are you, Holmes? All alone on Christmas Eve, eh?
Yes, Whittycombe, I'm glad you came over to see me.
Mm-hmm.
What's it to be, an evening of chess, or have you unearthed some recent treasure of medieval pottery that we can discuss?
Neither, Holmes. I've come to you in your professional capacity. I need help.
Oh, come now, Whittycombe. Don't tell me that after all these years of quiet friendship, you're going to become a client.
I'm afraid so, Holmes. Though I doubt if my problem will interest you very much. It's hardly up to your rather colourful standards. Care for a cigar?
Oh, thanks. Well, now, my dear Whittycombe, what's your trouble?
Well, I decided this year to have a little Christmas party at my townhouse. I'm quite comfortably off, as you know, and it occurred to me that I have several relatives and friends who are not as well off. I'm having a party for them tonight, Holmes, and I hope you'd attend it, disguised as Santa Claus.
Oh, my dear fellow, I've adopted many disguises in my time, but Father Christmas has never been one of them. Why do you want me to attend your party in disguise in any case? Are you ashamed of your friendship with a private detective, or do you consider my features more acceptable when buried beneath the depths of a snowy beard?
Oh, my dear Holmes, do take me seriously. I'm not joking, I assure you.
Of course you're not, of course you're not. You want me to attend your party in disguise. Why?
I'm giving some very valuable presents, diamond and onyx cufflinks, platinum and ruby earrings, and then such like. And I've wrapped each of the presents in banknotes.
Oh, dear me. Where are these presents now?
In a sack, in charge of my butler. I was going to dress up as Santa Claus and give them out myself, until I got the warning letter. That's why I've come to you.
Warning letter, eh?
Yes, I received it by this evening's post. Listen to this. My dear Lord Whittycombe, your generosity with Christmas presents borders on ostentation. We do not approve. Either we receive £5,000 in sovereigns at post restant Box 379 by 6 o'clock on Christmas Eve, or I'm afraid your Christmas party will be conspicuous by its absence of presents.
Let me see that note, Whittycombe, will you?
Yes, here you are.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. Plain paper, torn from a penny notebook. The writing is obviously disguised. By George, yes. Whittycombe, I accept the case. I'll come with you to your party at once, and furthermore, I shall follow your suggestion regarding a disguise. Dressed as Santa Claus, I shall be less likely to attract suspicion.
I'm delighted, Holmes. But what made you decide so suddenly?
This writing, my dear fellow, this writing. Oh, it's in a false hand. I'd know that characteristic M in my dear Whittycombe. I've seen it too often at the beginning of a signature. Moriarty.
Moriarty? Who's he?
Oh, one of the cleverest and most unscrupulous criminals in England. Whittycombe, there's no time to be lost. It's, let me see now. 6:30. Half an hour beyond the deadline given you in this letter. We must go to your house at once.
This is as far as the cab can take us, Doctor.
Oh, here you are, cabby. Here's 5 shillings for you and a Merry Christmas.
Oh, bless you, gentlemen, and a Merry Christmas to you, too.
You said you wanted to get into the house through the back way so that you could surprise the children.
Yes, I thought I was going to come down the kitchen chimney.
Oh, you can get to the back of the house by going up the alley here. I'll go in the front door.
Splendid, splendid, Mrs. Hutton. Which is the house?
Number 28. It's the third one down the alley, Doctor. I'll have the back window open in no time, and you can slip in without any of the bairns seeing.
Very well. A gloomy little street, I must say. Hello. Where's the music coming from?
Oh, it's from that temple across the street, Doctor. The Disciples of the Octagonal Square, they call themselves.
What on earth do you suppose that means?
Oh, some newfangled cult. Heathens, most likely.
Hello, hello, hello. I'm not the only Santa Claus abroad tonight. Look at that fellow across the street over there.
Oh, dressed just like yourself, Doctor. And carrying a sack, too. Oh, he's running up the steps to the temple.
Great Scott, he slipped on the ice. Oh. I wonder what his hurry was. Here, my man.
Be careful now, Doctor. Dinner trip for yourself.
Here you are, sir. Now, give me a hand.
Thank you, sir. Silly of me, wasn't it?
Oh, we Santa Claus have to help each other, you know. Up you come. That's it.
Oh, Doctor, I told you to be careful. Oh. Now you've fallen, too.
Oh, it's this confounded red coat of mine. It tripped me up. Oh.
Did you hurt yourself, sir?
No. I'm all right, I think. How about you, sir?
Well, I'm all right, thanks. Oh. Silly of me to run, wasn't it?
Here's your sack, sir.
Well, thank you. Good night, and Merry Christmas.
Same to you, sir. Same to you. Oh, he went into the temple. Must be a disciple of the Octagonal Square.
You're sure you're no hurt, Doctor?
No, of course not, Mrs. Hudson. Give me my sack, please. Thank you. Your sister's house is the third one down this alleyway, you say?
I'll hurry and open the back window.
Yes, I'll be waiting for you, Mrs. Hudson. This is rather fun. What a shame Holmes isn't with us. Oh, well, he's probably happier having a good game of chess with Lord Widdicombe.
This is my house, Holmes, number 39.
39 Bronson Square, eh? And dear old Watson is just around the corner in Lexington Gardens and hasn't any idea that I've left Baker Street.
Yes, here you are, cabby.
Thank you, sir. Merry Christmas, sir.
Uh-huh. Listen to that. Carol singers.
Yes, we'll probably have our fill of them before this evening's over.
Good evening, my lord.
Have the guests arrived, Hargreave?
Most of them, sir. They're in the library. You brought another Santa Claus with you, I see, my lord.
Another Santa Claus? What do you mean?
The gentleman arrived 3/4 hours ago, sir, dressed as Santa Claus. I took him to your study, my lord, and showed him the sack of presents.
Confound it! He's got here before us. Where's the study?
This way.
I hope I didn't do wrong, my lord. You told me that a gentleman dressed as Santa Claus would be coming here. Dear me. The gentleman appears to have gone.
Yes, and the sack containing the presents with him.
But he can't have left the house, my lord. I've been watching the front door.
Yes, and while you were doing that, he slipped out through the window here. The catch is undone. Hargrave, describe this man.
Well, I can't tell you much about his appearance, I'm afraid, sir. He was dressed as Santa Claus, just like yourself. But I did notice one thing about him, sir.
Oh, what was that?
He lisped, sir. It was quite pronounced.
Of course. Lou the Lisper.
Who on earth is Lou the Lisper?
One of Moriarty's most trusted accomplices. Fortunately, though, I've had news of him lately through my underworld grapevine.
You know where he lives?
He's reputed to have some connections with a new cult that calls themselves the Disciples of the Octagonal Square. Their headquarters are just around the corner from here.
Let's go there at once.
Of course, and Hargrave.
Yes, sir.
Get a message to Scotland Yard as fast as you can. Ask for Inspector Lestrade and tell him to join me at the Temple of the Octagonal Square in Lexington Gardens as soon as possible.
All right, that's the first portion of The New Adventures of Sherlock Holmes, December 24th, 1945, The Night Before Christmas with Basil. I sometimes say basil.
It's basil.
Because I use basil, you know, as a spice.
As a seasoning.
It's a seasoning.
Okay, it's close.
So, but it's basil. Not. It's Basil Rathbone and Nigel Bruce. I had a very nice listener send me an email and say, you know what, Carl, you always say basil. It's not basil. It's basil.
He's right, and we heard it just on the announcer.
Yeah, so you know what? I was wrong one time in 1972, and then again here I was wrong.
That's
so,
it, huh?
Pretty good run, but yeah. You know, it can't happen.
If you think so.
Harry Bartell. I had dinner with Harry Bartell once. Just a sweet guy. He's the announcer on this, sponsored by Petri Wines, as heard on the Mutual Broadcasting System. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more of the WGN Radio Theater. I like the music Dan played. Dan picks good music, man. He's the music man. Dan the music man. We just got a nickname for him. That's good. What is this? I like this. You know?
This is The Cure.
The Cure. Oh, yeah. They're good. Yeah. Whenever I'm sick, I like The Cure. That's for sure. This is good stuff, right?
Are you sick right now?
Yeah.
That's why you like them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is good. All right. So this is the WGN Radio Theater. If you were spinning the dial and you heard The Adventures of Sherlock Holmes and you were like, what's going on here? Sounds like a classic radio show. You found the right place to be, because if you like these radio dramas from the 1930s, 40s, and 50s, we have them for you every Sunday night on WGN, the legendary 720 WGN. We broadcast all across the country with this signal, and we play these wonderful radio shows. And we're in the midst of tuning in to Basil Rathbone and Nigel Bruce. We'll get back to it in a minute. But I want to remind our listeners that we have a Facebook page that you can go to and learn a lot more about the show, right, Mike?
That is absolutely correct, and it's WGN Radio Theater.
Yeah, just search us and go there and like us. Please like us. I want to see the likes go up tonight. Can we try to do that? Could people out there, our listeners, could you be so kind as to go to your Facebook? Could you search for us and like us? I would love to see it jump up tonight here on the WGN. It's sort of like a drive, you know, like a food drive or a fundraising drive, you know, when they do like on WTTW.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't? Okay.
No,
it's because
idea.
It's a very educational station.
I
watch
idea
it every once in a while.
About.
Learn something.
Yeah, I used to watch Barney in between.
Well, you have two master's degrees already. I still have to learn things.
Oh, my God.
The purple
God.
Dinosaur.
Yeah.
I remember Barney.
No, there was no Barney.
It was a little weird. The... My kids were a little afraid of Barney
really?
Back then. Yeah, it was kind of like a purple dinosaur.
Everybody yeah. loves Barney. We were Barney for Halloween how many years in a row? I can't yeah. even remember.
But I would really love it to see our likes go way up
I
tonight.
I think we're going to have a party when we hit 1,000.
Yeah, let's
1,000
do it.
Likes.
Help us get to 1,000 tonight. Our listeners can do that.
Yeah, we can have a party.
The power of the listeners. They can go to our website. They could go to
our
Facebook
page. And they can also tell us what they want to hear. And for that, we allow them to be our program director.
Yes.
Choose what radio shows we are going to play. And most of the time, we play them.
Well, yeah. If you want to hear The Shadow or Jack Benny or Gunsmoke or Dragnet or even these obscure shows, we'll play them for you. That's what we want to do here. We want to make our listeners happy. Please help us build our likes. We want to do that. Okay, ready? Let's get back to this Christmas show. It's called The Night Before Christmas, and ironically, it was broadcast on the night before Christmas, December 24th, 1945. Basil Rathbone and Nigel Bruce return now in The New Adventures of Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, the children are awful excited, Doctor. I told them you just came down the chimney.
I'll slip the beard on and then I'll go into them. There we are.
Will I announce you, Doctor?
Yes, please, Mrs. Hudson.
All right, sir.
Quiet
now, children, quiet. Santa Claus has come to see you, and he's brought you all presents.
hello, children.
Hello, Santa Claus. My name's Elsie. Did you bring me a present?
Oh, I did, Elsie. I'll look in my sack in a minute, and what's your name, young man?
Herbert, they call me Bertie. Did you come down the chimney?
Yes, Bertie.
I bet you had a time doing it. You're so fat.
Oh, don't be rude, Bertie, or Santa Claus won't give you your present.
And what's your name, little man?
Lionel. I've got a cold.
Yes, I see you have. Well, children, gather around me, and I'll see what presents I got for you.
Let me see, Bertie.
The first present is for... can't be right. It says for Her Grace, the Dowager Duchess of Beulah.
Oh, do you suppose Mr. Holmes has been playing a practical joke on you, Doctor?
I suppose so, but I can't see the point myself. But he did say that he'd added a few trinkets of his own.
I want my present.
Then supposing you take this, Elsa.
Ooh, thank you.
And this one is marked for the Reverend Arthur Carter. Okay. You know what Holmes is up to. Here you are, Bertie.
Cool, thanks.
And this is for you, Lionel, because you've been a good little boy.
This isn't very big, is it? I wanted the dog.
Oh, wanted the dog. Well, I'll bring you a dog next year, Lionel.
Oh, Dr. Watson.
Yes, Mrs. Hudson?
Oh, look at the wrapping on these presents, Dr. Weather. 20-pound notes.
It's Scott.
Oh, cool. Look what I got.
Now, let me see. Why... cufflinks and diamond and onyx ones, unless I'm very much mistaken.
I got the pretty earrings. Look how they sparkle.
Let me see, Elsie. Good gracious, I swear that these are platinum and rubies. What in thunder's going on?
I want my earrings back.
Give me back mine, too.
Well, here you are, here you are.
Dr. Watson, what do you suppose has happened?
I don't know, Mrs. Hudson. Perhaps my toys are still at the bottom of the sack. I can't understand it. Oh. I wish Holmes were here instead of dozing in front of our fire in Baker Street.
Where are you, Holmes?
Here by the bed. This is the only room in the temple that gives any signs of having been lived in. I think our bird has been here, but I'm afraid he's flown. I'm sure Inspector Lestrade will get here. Strike a match, will you, Whittingham?
Right. Yeah. Here's a candle on the table.
Oh, just as I feared. Look on the bed.
A red coat and a beard.
Yes, Lou the Lisper has discarded his disguise and gone, and with him, I'm afraid, your valuable presence.
Oh, wait a minute. Here's a sack lying on the floor. Oh, no, this isn't mine. Look what's in it. A toy dog, large box of chocolates, little girl's doll.
What in thunder? Well, this is Watson's sack.
But how on earth could Lou the Lisper have got hold of it?
Somewhere, somehow, he and Watson must have made an accidental change, and Lou the Lisper is no doubt trying to track Watson down at this very moment. We must work fast, Whittingham, or my friend's life and those of Mrs. Hudson and her relatives won't be worth our tinker's damn.
Oh, now, Doctor, you can't break off your story there.
Oh, yes, I can, my boy. Before I go on, I thought we'd have a glass of port just to freshen us up.
Oh, well, that's something different. Of course, instead of talking about port, as I sometimes do, it'll be nice to drink some for a change.
There you are, my boy, and a Merry Christmas to you.
The same to you. And now, what happened next, Doctor? We left you at the children's Christmas party, and Sherlock Holmes and Lord Whittingham around the corner at the Temple of the Octagonal Square.
Yes, Mr. Bartell, although at the time, of course, I had no idea what was going on. There I was, cheerfully handing out gifts worth, well, if not a king's, at least a baronet's ransom. While outside the Temple of the Octagonal Square, Holmes and Lord Whittingham were talking to Inspector Lestrade of Scotland Yard.
In a nutshell, Lestrade.
Yeah, seems to me, Lord Whittingham, you'd have been wiser to get in touch with Scotland Yard when you first got the warning note. We could have nabbed him when he came to your house and pinched the sack of presents.
Lestrade, this is no time for post-mortems. We've got to reach Lou the Lisper before he finds Dr. Watson.
Do you suppose he can do that, Holmes?
It wouldn't be difficult. Lou the Lisper is nearly as clever as his master, Professor Moriarty. The chances are that you were followed when you came to Baker Street tonight, Whittingham, and it's equally likely that Watson and Mrs. Hudson were followed as they left it. Moriarty seldom leaves anything to chance.
Well, where did Dr. Watson go tonight?
28 Lexington Gardens. It's just around the corner from here.
Well, then let's go there at once.
Right now, quarry away. No, Lestrade. We must use a little subtlety. Now, Lou the Lisper wishes to recover that sack of presents from Watson. How would he invade the party with the least possible trouble?
By dressing up as Santa Claus again.
No, I think he's overplayed that role for one evening.
Well, then how would he try to get in, Mr. Holmes?
Oh, come now, Lestrade. What group of people can enter any house on Christmas Eve without invitation or without creating suspicion?
The carol singers.
Exactly, my dear fellow. I shouldn't be at all surprised if at this very moment Lou the Lisper and some of his gang are singing carols outside 28 Lexington Gardens.
Well, then what are we going to do?
Form a rival choral society. How many of your men did you bring with you?
Three. A sergeant and two constables.
Wearing greatcoats?
Yes, Mr. Holmes. But why?
Good. They can hide their helmets and pretend to be singers. Come on, let's go over there, and while we're walking, we'll rehearse our carols. We must appear reasonably convincing. Sound your ray, Lestrade, sound your ray.
Well,
like Santa Claus?
No, no, you mustn't make Santa Claus too tired, Lyle.
Oh, that's all right, Mrs. Hudson. Hop on, Lyle, hop on.
Can't
they come inside and sing for us, Santa Claus?
Yes, of course they can. Ask them to come in, Mrs. Hudson, will you?
All right, sir.
Oh, come on, let me get on your back, too.
Oh, no, no, take it easy. Oh, there we go.
I want to see your reindeer, Santa.
See my reindeer? Oh, buddy, boy, they're up on the roof.
Oh. I'll climb up and see them.
No, 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 you mustn't do that. They're asleep. Oh, here are the carol singers. Off you get, children. There we go. That's it now. Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening, and Merry Christmas.
Would you like to sing some carols for the children? After that, I'm sure you'd like a drop of something to warm you up.
Well, thank you, sir. We should like that.
Haven't I met you before somewhere, my man?
No, sir, I'm sure you haven't. Come on, man, let's sing Good King Wenceslas.
Good King Wenceslas looked out on the feast of Stephen.
Well, here we are outside the house, Mr. Ohm. Now watch. Shh. Listen. Uh-huh. Lou the Lisper and his men are already there.
Are we going in now?
In a moment. Now, men, you will have your truncheons handy?
Yes, Mr. Holmes, we're ready.
Splendid. Now, remember, when we're inside and I yell Merry Christmas at the top of my voice, you bring out your truncheons and get Lou the Lisper and his gang out of there as quickly as possible. Don't arrest them until you get them outside again, Lestrade. I don't want to frighten the children.
Right you are, Mr. Holmes. We're ready. Just give us the word and we'll go in and get them.
Singing, and now, how about something to warm you all up?
That won't be necessary, Dr. Watson. See to the door, Sammy. Now, all of you, stay right where you are.
Who are you? What do you think you're up to?
Please don't be difficult, Doctor. All I want is the jewels out of my sack that you stole from me tonight. If you try and stop me, I shall have to hurt you.
Why do you talk so funny? You got a cold like me.
Shut up. Now, Doctor, where are the jewels? Oh, curse it. There are some more carol singers outside.
Don't let them go away, Lou.
No, better let them come in. If we don't, they might get suspicious.
All right, Lou. First, you know what you're up to.
Now, no tricks, Doctor. If you try and give an alarm, I shall have to get rough with you.
Oh, I don't mind about that, but just remember that there are children present.
Oh, there, Manny. You only here before you, eh? What you say? We all join a little carol for the nippers, eh?
All right. What do you want to sing?
Up the old angel sing, eh?
All right. Come on, men. Let's sing.
Up the old angel sing. Glory to the newborn.
They're all going away. They're dragging each other out. Holmes, what in fun is going on?
I'll explain it to you later, old chap. Lestrade.
Yes, Mr. Holmes.
Take them to Scotland Yard and prefer charges. I'll be over in a little while and give evidence.
Right you are, sir. Too bad we didn't catch Professor Moriarty, too.
Well, at least we have some of his cohorts. I'll see you later, Lestrade.
I'm sure I knew what was going on here. Is Moriarty mixed up in this business?
Yes, Watson. I'll tell you all about it as soon as I've straightened this thing out. Now, Whittingham.
Yes, Holmes.
The 20-pound notes that you used as wrapping for your gifts seem to have been scattered all over the house. Do you want me to recover them, too?
No. From what you've told me of the children, I think their parents could use the money much more profitably than my relatives. In any case, I can replace it.
A very generous Christmas gift. Well, children, did you enjoy the little game we staged for you?
It was enough. But
yes, I nearly died laughing when they started hitting each other.
I'm glad you enjoyed it, children. And now I want you to show me the presents you received.
I got these pretty earrings.
Oh, they were a part of the game, too. A nice little girl like you doesn't want silly earrings, Elsie. Here's a beautiful doll for you.
Cool. Her eyes open and shut and everything.
And what did you get, my little man?
These.
Oh, cufflinks. Good gracious. Who wants cufflinks when he can have a clockwork train? You want to exchange?
Rain, Lord love a duck, yes.
I wanted a dog.
There's one for you, Lionel, a nice woolly dog.
Oh, good.
And here's a
lovely.
Here you are, Julie. Here's a nice big box of chocolates, too. You can all share them.
Oh, Lummy, what a night. I ain't had as much fun since Granny got her finger stuck in a plug-o.
Well, I still don't understand what's going on, Holmes, but I must say this has all the earmarks of being a happy Christmas.
Yes, Mrs. Hudson.
Hi, Mr. Holmes.
How's the turkey coming along?
Oh, it'll be ready in a few minutes, Mr. Holmes.
Splendid. And while we're waiting, perhaps the children will oblige with something we haven't heard so far.
Yes, I know what you mean. Christmas carol that really sounds convincing. How about it, children?
All right, sir. Come on, Elsie. Come on, Lionel.
Silent night, holy night. All is calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin mother and child. Holy infants of tender and mild. Sleep in heavenly peace.
Well, Doctor, that was really a swell story. On a Christmas Eve like this, do you ever wish you were back in Baker Street celebrating Christmas there?
At times, yes, but actually, Mr. Bartell, I'm very happy right here in my little home. There on the table is a beautiful little Christmas tree. There's a fine fire in my fireplace. My two dogs, Monty and Willie, are sleeping peacefully at my feet. And best of it all, I've got the love of every child in the neighborhood. Yes, I got a great deal this Christmas Eve. Lots to be thankful for. And what with the troubles of the world on their way to being settled, it looks as if this is the brightest Christmas that I've ever had.
Well, that's how I feel about it too, Doctor.
I hope that all our friends listening in are just as happy this Christmas Eve as we are. And speaking not only for myself, but I know for all of us and for the Petrie family too, we wish every one of you a happy Christmas from the bottom of our hearts. God rest ye merry, gentlemen.
Tonight's Sherlock Holmes adventure was written by Dennis Green and Anthony Boucher and was suggested by an incident in the Sir Arthur Conan Doyle story, The Adventure of the Blue Carbuncle. Music is by Dean Fossler. Mr. Rathbone appears through the courtesy of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer and Mr. Bruce through the courtesy of Universal Pictures, where they are now starring in the Sherlock Holmes series. The Petrie Wine Company of San Francisco, California, invites you to tune in again next week, same time, same station. Sherlock Holmes comes to you from our Hollywood studios. This is Harry Bartell saying goodnight for the Petrie family. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
All right, a terrific Christmas story called The Night Before Christmas, starring Basil Rathbone and Nigel Bruce on the new adventures of Sherlock Holmes. Harry Bartell there, sponsored by Petrie Wines. And the Mutual Broadcasting System. All right, that's Sherlock. Oh, I love the detectives. I love the detectives and the mysteries. Lisa likes the comedies. Mike likes Johnny Dollar. Dan likes Gunsmoke. You know, so
that's why we play a little bit of everything.
Yeah, that's right. And I want to thank our listeners. That's the most important thing. It's why we're here, to make our listeners happy. We want to play whatever they want to hear. Just log on to our Facebook page. Let us know what you want to hear, and we'll play it. Here on the WGN Radio Theater every Sunday night, 11 p.m. till 2 o'clock in the morning. We have a name of that movie. We're going to give away a Lou Malnati's Pizza $25 gift card. I could use that.
Sounds great. I
think
love
I'll call in myself. Can I call in and win? No,
I don't know.
Probably
let's,
not.
Let's see how that goes.
Let's
for
let
you.
Our listeners do that. 1978 action drama fantasy starring Christopher Reeve.
Lois, we did have a date tonight, remember?
Oh.
Lois?
Huh?
You haven't been,
Oh, no.
Well, I should certainly hope not. Well, let's push off, shall we?
All right, if you know what movie that is from 1978, action drama, call us right now, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Phone lines are open. If you get through and identify that movie, you're going to win a Lou Malnati's gift card. We'll be right back.
You are listening to the WGN Radio Theater, and we are playing Name That Movie. Let's hear that movie clip one more time.
Lois, we did have date tonight, remember?
Oh.
Lois?
Huh?
You haven't been,
Oh, no, no.
Well, I certainly hope not. Well, let's, push off, shall we?
We have Mike on the line from Hoffman Estates. That's a great clip, right, Mike?
It certainly is. That is Superman.
It certainly is Superman. And did you know that's the most expensive film made up to that point? Had a budget of $55
million.
Wow. So that's back in 19...
I did not know it.
Yeah.
Did that Mario Puzo write that screenplay?
Yes. I believe he did.
I think
yes,
that's
I believe
right.
he did.
And what a great scene that is. I can picture it as, yes. as it was going on there. Mike, you are a winner. You have won a $25 gift certificate for Lou Malnati's, one of my personal favorite pizzas. You can visit one of their 42 Chicagoland locations and check them out at loumalnati's.com. I hope you enjoy that.
Thank you so much. Enjoying the Christmas show.
Oh, thank you. We enjoy playing them for you, Mike.
Thanks, Mike. Merry Christmas to you. Thanks for tuning in. Real quick, we are going to have a play, right, on the air here on the 18th of December.
Not exactly a play, like an audio drama.
Right, it's a radio drama, and all of the wonderful talent that have shows here on WGN are going to participate in an hour-long, although it'll be stretched out to 2 hours because there's commercials and things, of Miracle on 34th Street, right?
Right. So this will be on December 18th from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And it's going to be really exciting.
Yeah. I can't wait to do it. I'm going to direct it. And you're in it. And
I am.
Steve Cochran and Brian Noon and everybody. Everybody's in it. Nick DiGilio's in it. Rokan's in it. Everybody's in it.
Yep. Well, right? Not everybody, but...
Well,
plenty of good.
A lot of your favorite
WGN radio hosts
will be there. And not only can our listeners listen to it, but I think they can even come and watch it too. Yeah, there's going to be an audience. There's going to be an audience here.
It's going to be a very small audience. I know there's a contest page at WGNradio.com. Check out the full details and listen to Miracle on Jerry Wells Street on Friday, December 18th, 10 a.m. to 12 noon.
Right, so check that out. Make sure you listen to it at 10 to 12 on the 18th.
I just said that.
I know. I just like to reiterate the important parts of it.
I said it better, though.
I know. That's our bouncy theme right there.
A familiar song.
WGN Radio Theater, that's what that means. That theme means the WGN Radio Theater is on the air here with Lisa Wolf, myself, Carl Amari, Mike Costella, our executive producer, and Dan Long, our producer, in the booth there. And he doesn't have to be beraged by us. You know, he doesn't have to deal with all the bickering between me, you, and Mike, you know.
Oh, speak for yourself. Mike, you know, and I aren't bickering.
Dan is over there.
You're sitting there and complaining. Dan can even attest to that, although he's pretty diplomatic in there.
We like to pick on each other over here.
We do. Dan's in there.
He's like Switzerland. He's in the booth over there.
That's right. If it gets too bad, I just retreat back behind the glass.
That's right. He goes behind the... He's like the
he's
wizard.
He's the man behind
he's
the
wizard
behind
of Oz.
The curtain, right?
He's the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
He's back there. Who played the Wizard of Oz again? Was it Harry Morgan, I think? Harry Morgan was the Wizard of Oz. You remember the other people in the Wizard of Oz?
Yeah, you mean like the Scarecrow and the Lion?
Right.
Oh, yeah, I do.
Bert Lahr played the Lion.
Yeah, sure.
Right, of course, there was Judy Garland was Dorothy. Haley, Jack Haley was the Tin Man. And who was the Scarecrow?
Oh, I know
the Scarecrow. Who was the Scarecrow? Ray Bolger. Ray Bolger was the Scarecrow.
He was the Scarecrow.
And then Harry Morgan was
pretty good, Carl.
Yeah, not bad, right?
Yeah, see?
Off the top of the noggin there. Of course, I'm a big Wizard of Oz fan, you know. And then there was some monkeys in there, scared me. Oh, those monkeys. Oof. Yeah, when I was a kid.
I like the flying monkeys.
The flying monkeys scared the bejesus out of me. I don't like flying monkeys.
Okay.
You know?
Well, we won't get any flying monkeys.
I don't like
in the
spiders
studio.
Either. Oh, spiders and snakes, they bother me too. You guys got any arachnophobia, any kind of phobias? You afraid of anything, Mike?
I'm afraid of you.
I'm wearing red here tonight.
Yes, I see that.
Are you afraid of anything, Mike?
I don't know. Not really that I can think of.
No?
I'm into like pretty alternative sports, including in days past, paintball, and I'm still like trying to get my way to jump out of an airplane.
Oh,
and,
I won't do that.
Oh, that
do
I
all
won't
of that,
do.
Nah. So
no.
I mean, I wouldn't jump out of a perfectly fine airplane.
I would not jump out of a plane.
I like to get scared
really?
By things like
I
that.
I like scary movies.
I like scary
Dan, how about you? Anything scare you?
Yeah, I guess falling, you know, like falling out of an airplane.
Yeah,
I guess.
That would be scary,
heights,
right?
You could say.
Yeah, heights.
Or spiders.
Too. Yeah, I don't
spiders
like spiders.
Spiders too, huh?
Yeah, I once crashed my car. Did you know this? My kids tease me about this all the time. I was pulling into the garage. The kids were in the car. I was pulling into the garage, and there was a spider on the outside of my window, but I looked up into the light, and I thought it was on the inside, and I went, yeah, and I crashed my car into the garage. Yeah.
That's but, a good story.
You know, it's a true story. My kids still rib me about it all the time.
Yeah, it's funny.
But, well, okay. There you go. Just good. A little, you know. That's a little
Insight into Carl Amari.
Yeah, that I don't like spiders.
All right, well,
definitely.
We won't. You
probably would not have liked one of my last apartments because I actually had like kind of these spiders that started to like hang out on the ceiling.
Ugh.
And I don't really kill spiders in the house.
No.
So then I started to see more of them. And yeah. then it got. It, then
so what
it got,
do you do with spiders in your house?
I just left them up there because they just stayed up there.
Oh,
but
wow.
then when I started to see like 20 of them, then I started to get worried.
Starts
a
naming
little.
Them. There's oh. Harvey. And there's
yeah, I'm not that nice.
Fred and Lisa.
Yeah. Get that, Lisa.
All right. In this hour, we're going to tune into My Friend Irma. Good comedy.
Just
yeah,
for me.
Marie Wilson. But first, our sponsors segment.
It's time for Celebrity School, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This is a very exciting celebrity scoop. Universal has asked this actor to play legendary astronaut Neil Armstrong in the upcoming movie First Man, A Life of Neil A. Armstrong, a film about the first person to set foot on the moon.
All right, so the celebrity scoop, we're trying to find out who this actor is. And he, in 2004, starred in a drama romance called The Notebook. Take a listen.
Will you do something for me? Please? You just picture your life for me. 30 years from now, 40 years from now, what's it look like? If it's with that guy, go.
All right, if you know who this actor is, Celebrity Scoop, give us a call, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. You can win two tickets to see Bad Jews at the Royal George Theater. We'll find our winner after this break.
We are playing Name That Celebrity right here in the WGN Radio Theater. Let's play that movie clip again.
Will you do something for me? Please? You just picture your life for me? 30 years from now, 40 years from now, what's it look like? If it's with that guy, go.
And we've got Gina on the line from Peoria. Hey, Gina.
Greetings.
Greetings. Can you tell us who we're talking about? Who is that celebrity?
That would be the gentleman who hosted Saturday Night Live last night.
Yes.
Ryan Gosling.
You are absolutely right, and you are a winner. You have won two tickets to see Bad Jews. It's playing at the Royal George Theater's Cabaret Studio, running through December 27th. You can go to badjewschicago.com for more information. I saw the show. I love the show. Everybody loves the show. I hope that you really enjoy it, Gina.
Fantastic.
Thanks a lot for calling
in. Way to go,
in.
Gina. Merry Christmas. Thanks for tuning in. All right, time for My Friend Irma. Want to listen to this?
I sure do.
Situation comedy set in Manhattan. It aired from 1947 to 54. It was on in movies and on television as well, along with a radio show. Its center person was Marie Wilson as Irma Peterson. She was a dim-witted blonde stenographer. Her best friend was her roommate, Jane Stacy. And they had fun together, rooming together, and it was a great situation comedy created by Cy Howard, who also created Life with Luigi. This is a Christmas show from 1948, December 20th to be exact. It stars Marie Wilson, and I think you will love this. Here's part one of My Friend Irma.
For the safety of your smile, use Pepsodent twice a day. See your dentist twice a year. Lever Brothers Company presents the Pepsodent show, My Friend Irma, created by Cy Howard and starring Marie Wilson as Irma with Joan Banks as Jane.
Friendship, friendship, just a perfect friendship. When other friendships have been forgot, theirs will still be hot. My Friend Irma.
Well, here it is, Christmas Eve at 8224 West 73rd Street, New York City. And on the third floor in apartment 3B, all is serene and quiet. except for my roommate, Irma Peterson, who is reading.
'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring. Look, Jean, a mouse!
Now, don't get excited. It's lost. It's probably looking for Professor Kropotkin's room.
Oh, gee, Jane, I've never been so happy on Christmas Eve, and that's because I have such wonderful friends. You and Richard and Mrs. O'Reilly and Professor Kropotkin, and, of course, Al.
Oh, by all means, Al.
Of course, I can't really consider Al a friend because I'm going to marry him.
Naturally.
And, Jane, you don't know what it means to have a few good friends you can count on, especially a Christmas Eve. Well, you know, when you'd really like to be with your family, but mine lives over 1,500 miles from here.
Irma, you never say much about your family.
Oh, Jane, there isn't much to say. They're just an average family, just like me. Perfectly normal people. For instance, there's Anna Peterson, my younger sister. She's not as old as I am.
It figures.
And there's my brother, Ernie Peterson. He's engaged. To be married, of course.
Yes, of course. What about your parents?
Oh, I miss them the most. They're just like a mother and father to me.
You know that happens in most families, Irma.
But, gee, they're all in Minnesota and I'm here. But I'm not lonesome because I'm surrounded by good friends and, Jane, I really appreciate them. That's why I'm giving a Christmas Eve surprise party tonight for you and Richard and Professor Kropotkin and Mrs. O'Reilly and Al.
Tonight?
Uh-huh.
Oh, Irma, honey. Well, I don't know how to tell you, but...
Tell me what?
Well, dear, excuse me, honey. Hello? Oh, hello, Richard. What? Yes, I know it's formal. No, I've never been to the Long Island Country Club. Yes, I'm terribly excited. It'll be our second Christmas Eve together. I'll be ready. Goodbye, dear.
Jane, you mean you're going out tonight with Richard? Or what about my Christmas Eve party?
Well, honey, you didn't say anything about it, and Richard invited me to a Christmas party at the Long Island Country Club. I'd hate to miss it. It's the affair of the season.
Oh, but this is Christmas Eve, and I thought tonight we'd be together. Christmas Eve isn't like other holidays, you know.
Well, I realize that, honey, but...
Well, I could understand it if it was Independence Day, then we wouldn't have to be together. We could be independent.
Irma, I'm terribly sorry, but... Well, there's nothing I can do about it. Richard asked me weeks ago. Anyway, my not being here shouldn't spoil your party. You'll still have Professor Kropotkin and Mrs. O'Reilly and Al.
I understand, Jane. I still have the others.
Sure. Come in.
It's only me, Professor Kropotkin. How are my two little Christmas trees? One full grown and the other a little sapling?
Why, Professor?
Excuse me, a little Yuletide joke. By the way, girls, a Merry Christmas to you both.
Merry Christmas to you, too.
Merry Christmas, Professor.
I hope you'll excuse me for coming down. I don't mean to interrupt, but I wasn't feeling so good. And when I don't feel so good, I always rush out of my room as fast as I can.
Why?
I wouldn't be found dead in that place. Well, girls, do you realize tonight is Christmas Eve?
Yes, and just look at that blanket of snow outside. Isn't it lovely?
That is a matter of opinion. If Mrs. O'Reilly doesn't put glass in my windows, not only will I have a blanket of snow, I'll have a carpet of the same material.
Oh, Irma, you'd better ask the professor about this evening before it's too late.
Oh, yes. Professor, will you come to my Christmas Eve party tonight?
Tonight? Oh, Irma, I'm so sorry.
You mean you can't come either?
Well, it can't be helped. Tonight I'm playing my fiddle at the Gypsy Tea Room. I've been practicing all day.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yes, I know, but they pay me for it.
First Jane disappoints me, and now you.
Well, now look, honey, the professor can't help it. He must earn a living. And after all, you still have Mrs. O'Reilly and maybe the Martins upstairs. And, of course, there's Al. Come in.
Hello, everybody. Merry Christmas.
Well, the same to you, Mrs. O'Reilly.
Merry Christmas.
Say, Mrs. O'Reilly, that's a beautiful stairs, but that sign in the middle of it.
You don't like it?
Merry Christmas, lots of cheer. Remember the landlady or you'll freeze next year. To me, it's not a sentimental thought.
Miss O'Reilly, I'm giving a big surprise Christmas Eve party tonight for you and Al. We come tonight.
Oh, Irma, darling, I'm so sorry.
You mean you're too busy, too?
Yes, the Martins have invited me to go to Jersey with them. And since they owe me 4 months back rent, I can't afford to let them get on the train by themselves.
This is awful. First Jane turned me down, and the professor. Now you...
Maybe next year, Irma, dear. Merry Christmas and goodbye.
Oh, Jane.
Oh, sweetie, now stop crying. I know you're disappointed, but you should have told us about your party earlier. And besides, honey, you won't be left alone. You bought some food, didn't you?
What do you mean? Of course I bought some food.
Then Al will show up, I guarantee it.
Speaking of food, I think I'll go up to my room and have my dinner.
Are you cooking, Professor?
No, I just take one look at that dump, I sit down and I eat my heart out. Merry Christmas, girls. I'm sorry, Irma.
Honey, I'm sorry things turned out this way for you.
Oh, it's all right, Jane. This is one way of finding out who my real friends are. They're Al. Every one of them.
Come in.
Hello, Jane. Hiya, chicken. Merry Christmas.
Oh, gee, Al. Merry, merry Christmas. I'm so glad to see you.
Same here, chicken. I like being with you, too. Mind if I warm my hands on the radiator?
Well, of course not, honey. How'd they get so cold?
Wanted to take the crosstown trolley, but with all that snow on the ground, took me 4 hours to find a transfer.
Honey, that's too bad. And your poor face, it's so red.
That ain't from the cold, chicken. They caught me with yesterday's transfer.
My goodness, look at the time. Richard's going to pick me up in an hour, and I haven't even started to dress. Al, aren't you going to take your top coat off?
Oh, thanks, Jane, but I ain't staying. Just came in to wish Chicken a Merry Christmas. I gotta be on my way. Got a big deal brewing.
Oh, Al.
Oh, Chicken, it's important.
Oh, you and your deal.
Business is business, Chicken. I gotta be running along.
But I'll be left all alone on Christmas Eve. And Al, I depended on you, my own boyfriend.
Chicken, if I could only explain.
Don't bother. None of you must think very much of me if you can leave me alone on Christmas Eve. Fine friends I have. Goodbye.
How do you like that?
Al, of all the low-down, contemptible, good-for-nothing...
Hold it, Jane. I won't have you saying those things about the girl I love.
I'm not talking about Irma. I mean you. How could you desert her on Christmas Eve of all nights? Me, I have to go out with Richard, but you're her boyfriend.
Oh, Jane, I love Irma. And when a man is in love, he ain't responsible. He may do strange things. Things he'd never do in his right mind.
What are you talking about?
I went and got a job.
You got a job? Al, have you been drinking?
Knew it would shock you, but it's just for one night. Want to make a little dough and buy Irma a present.
Oh, well, I apologize, Al. I'm sorry I yelled at you.
Forget it, Jane.
Oh, gee. Listen, Al, the Christmas carolers.
Gee, that's pretty. Would like to stay, but I gotta get to work. Tell Irma I'll see you tomorrow, huh? Goodbye.
Down yon virgin
Gee. It's me, Richard. Jane.
Jane? Well, what's wrong? You sound terrible.
Richard, I can't go with you to the Christmas dance.
Why not? Are you ill?
No, Richard, I'm all right. It's just that... Well, Irma... You see, Irma hasn't any family or relatives in New York, and this Christmas Eve, all our friends seem to be busy, and I just couldn't leave her alone, Richard.
I wouldn't want you to.
Are you sure you mean that, Richard?
Of course, honey. I understand. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Goodbye, and Merry Christmas, Jane.
Merry Christmas, Richard. But, Al, I thought you left.
Came back for my hat. Didn't mean to eavesdrop, Jane, but if you're willing to give up a good time tonight for Irma, I guess it's my duty to be with Chicken, too.
Oh, Al, that'd be just wonderful. But wait a minute, what about the present you were going to get for Irma? If you don't work tonight, where will you get the money for it?
Gonna hock my watch.
But, Al, that's the only thing you own. You know that no matter how bad times have been, you always said you would never hock your watch.
Well, a man like me don't need a watch. I sleep all day long. So time is not important. And at night, it's too late to do anything.
Come in. Oh, it's you, Professor.
Excuse me, Jane. I've been thinking about poor little Irma, and, well, I decided to give up the job so tonight I could be with her.
But, Professor, won't that cost you money? You get big tips during Christmas.
On Christmas Eve, it's not important to make money. It's important to be with friends. After all, what's money?
Well, it's pretty important.
I see you've been talking to Mrs. O'Reilly again. No, my little Irma has no father in New York, so tonight Professor Kropotkin will be her father.
Attaboy, Pop.
Listen, Al, the first chance I get, I'm disinheriting you.
Excuse me, everybody. I took the liberty of walking in.
Why, Mrs. O'Reilly, I thought you were on your way to New Jersey.
I changed my mind. I got to thinking about poor little Irma being all alone tonight, and I just didn't have the heart to go. I'm going to stay here with Irma.
Oh, isn't that wonderful? Professor Kropotkin just said he's going to be her father.
I'll tell you, if that's the case, I'll be her mother.
I got news for you. If you're the mother, I'll be on the train for Reno in the morning.
All right, let's take a break here on My Friend Irma Christmas Show, December 20th, 1948, starring Marie Wilson. We will get back to this episode in just a few minutes. All right, this is the WGN Radio Theater. Thank you, Esmeralda. It is 1:35 in the morning on Monday morning. And we're here till 2 o'clock in the morning when Nick DiGilio will be here with his show, which I love. I love listening to it on my way home, too. I drive about an hour when I leave here, and I get into the house, and I get ready for bed, and I keep it on. And Nick has all his movie reviews and all kinds of fun stuff. He really is he's a late-night king here on WGN. I just love listening to Nick DiGilio. And I know you do, too, Lisa.
I do. I listen to him on my way home as well. I
love what he does. And he loves classic radio. We always talk about classic radio. He loves these radio shows. He says he tunes in when he's driving into the station and just loves listening to these shows as well. And these are shows that I've been collecting and licensing for, let's see, almost, well, yeah, 40 years. Oh, my gosh.
That's a lifetime.
I got hooked on these shows at age 12. And I'm 52 years old now.
You're what?
52. And I just love these radio shows. And we're in the midst of tuning into My Friend Irma, December 20th, 1948. Marie Wilson is the star. Let's go back and tune in the conclusion of this Christmas show on My Friend Irma.
Listen, everybody, I've got a wonderful idea. Irma was going to throw a surprise party for us. Now we'll throw one for her. We'll give her the best Christmas a girl ever had.
Swell. I'll go out and hock my watch and buy the present. I'll get my violin.
Oh, and we can have the party in my apartment. It's bigger. Come along, Jenny, and we'll start decorating. Oh, it'll be a merry Christmas. Come on, Professor. Take me arm.
A fair swap. She's been taking my blood all year.
Until Irma finds out, she'll be the happiest girl in New York. La, 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 la,
la, la, la. Train now leaving on track. 5-6 for Harmon, Poughkeepsie, Albany, Buffalo, and Point.
Next. Where to, miss?
Please, mister, what is the fare to Minneapolis?
$58 round trip.
$58? I only have six. Where can I go for $6?
$6? Let me see. How about Niagara Falls?
Oh, I couldn't go to Niagara Falls. I'm not even married. I'll find some other place to go. Merry Christmas.
Well, we're down in Mrs. O'Reilly's room, the professor, Al, and myself. Al is beaming proudly. Come January the 1st, he will have completed a solid 6 years of steady unemployment. I'm setting the table, and Mrs. O'Reilly is out trying to find a Christmas tree.
Oh, my aching feet. I've walked all over, and I can't find a Christmas tree.
Well, did you see Irma anywhere in the neighborhood?
No, I didn't. But it's nothing to worry about. We must get the tree before she gets back.
Tree? Well, there's only one man who can help us.
Who, Al? As if I didn't know.
Who else but... Hello, Joe. Al, got a problem. Need a Christmas tree right away. Huh? I can get one at Macy's already trimmed for a dime? Oh, the dime is for a glass cutter. The tree is in the window. No, Joe. This is Christmas Eve. When I hear jingle bells, I don't want them on a patrol wagon. What, Joe? You're playing Santa Claus tonight? Going down the chimney? Joe, this is quite a change for you, isn't it? Oh, you're going in with an empty bag and coming out with a full one. Well, Joe, nothing I can say except good luck and Merry Christmas, noble friend.
Oh, Al, what are we going to do? It's getting so late. Stand over there and we'll put out all the lights and give her a big kiss.
Come in.
Merry Christmas, honey.
Here's one for me.
Me too, my darling daughter.
For goodness sake, will someone please put on the lights?
Richard!
I thought Irma needed a shave.
Richard, we didn't expect you. I thought you went to the club.
I couldn't take it. Same old crowd, same old monotony. So I realized that I'd rather be here with real people on Christmas Eve.
Oh, gee, Richard, I'm so happy, and you're more than welcome.
Where's Irma?
Well, she thought we were all deserting her, so she went out in a huff. That's why we're throwing a surprise party for her. We're waiting for her to come back.
Yeah, don't want to find chicken until we can get a Christmas tree, though. Got any ideas, Richard?
Why don't we go out and buy one?
Nice gesture, Richard. We'll wait here for you.
Richard, you don't have to.
It's my pleasure, Jane. I saw several on the way over. I'll have one in a few minutes. Be right back.
And I'll get the cake out of the oven.
And I'll make some punch.
And I'll tell you when it's right. Jane, what are you crying about? The party's taken form.
I know. So wonderful having everyone pitch in, Richard getting a tree, and all of you giving up things. Oh, this is the most wonderful Christmas I've ever had!
Look, lady, this is your third round trip on this ferry boat. Ain't you got a home? Ain't you got any friends?
No.
Well, take my advice. Make some.
All right, I'll try. Thank you, and a Merry Christmas to you.
Jingle bells, jingle all the way.
Sleigh.
Oh, what fun it is to ride
on a sleigh
in a one-horse open.
Oh, hold it, fellas. Look, lady, we're Christmas carolers. We don't do this for a living, but we enjoy it, and we rehearse a great deal. We don't mind you joining us, but we like to have the sleigh come after the horse.
I'm sorry.
Okay, fellas, let's do it again.
Jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride
when the horse comes after the sleigh.
Look, lady, would you mind running along?
Oh, all right. I was just lonely. Merry Christmas.
Pardon me, lady. Have you got a dime for a cup of coffee?
Oh, you poor man. And Merry Christmas. Maybe you ought to have another dime for a donut.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, gosh, I don't have any change.
Oh, would you like me to break that five for you?
If you don't mind. Are you all alone in New York, too?
Yeah. How about you?
I'm from Minnesota.
Minnesota? How well I know that place. You know, you look very familiar.
I do? Oh, my name is Peterson.
Of course. You're Peterson's little daughter.
My father's name is George.
Hey, let me think. Peterson. Hey, that must be George Peterson.
Oh, how did you know?
Why, I remember. You used to live in
Minneapolis.
Let me see.
Minneapolis.
George Peterson. Minneapolis. That's the place. I never forget a name.
Oh, well, it's so nice to meet some old friends. Especially when you're lonely. You can keep the $5, sir.
Thank you. But this is only a loan. I'll return it the next time I see your father. Good old Fred Petersburg in Wisconsin.
No, it's Peterson in Minnesota. Mister!
Al, we've walked for miles. Perhaps we'd better go home and call the police to look for Irma.
Maybe you're right, Jane.
Pardon me, bud. You got a dime? Oh, Al, it's you. You got that quarter you owe me?
Mushface, ain't you got no character? How can you panhandle on Christmas Eve?
Great pickings tonight. Just got a fin from a blonde. Told her I knew her old man, Peterson in Minnesota.
Peterson? Al?
Mushface, which way'd she go?
Cross town. You know it?
Why? What's the difference?
I've been feeling like a crumb ever since I clipped her. Seemed like such a nice kid. Hey, would you give her back this fin? Yeah, thanks. And Merry Christmas. Hey, bud, you got a dime for a cup of coffee?
Come on, Al, come on. Let's go home and call the police. Now I'm really getting panicky.
All right, Jane, I'm with you.
Look, lady, I seen that picture Mildred Pierce. Now you get off this bridge.
I was just looking at the water, Mr. Watchman.
Look, lady, don't look down there. Everything that's beautiful is up here. It's Christmas Eve, you know.
Yes, I know. I'm so lonely.
Oh, I get it. You're all alone, huh?
Yes.
Any friends?
Yes, but my closest friends are far away.
Well, now, don't you cry, sister. You're coming home with me. We ain't got much, but we're happy to share it.
Hey, Bill.
Yes, Sergeant?
Did you happen to see a blonde girl... Say, lady, what's your name?
Irma Peterson.
That's all we want to know. Come along, sister.
I didn't do it. I didn't do it.
Didn't do what?
I don't know, but my boyfriend always says to say you didn't do it.
Now, look, Janie, we got to be brave. Now it's up to the police. They'll find it. But we got to take our minds off it. Mrs. O'Reilly, would you like to dance?
Oh, I'd love to.
Al, dance with her. I'll play the fiddle.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
How do you like that? I just started playing and already the neighbors got the police here.
No, it's a squad car pulling up. I think it's Irma.
My chicken.
Oh, Al. Irma, the police have found her. She's coming up the steps. Now, quick, turn out the lights, everybody. Come on, we can still surprise her and have the party.
Come in, dearie.
Irma, darling.
Surprise, chicken. Here's a big kiss for you. And here's a kiss from your father.
Why, Professor?
Quick, turn on the lights. I'm dying. I just kissed Mrs. O'Reilly.
Irma, darling, Merry Christmas. Where have you been?
Oh, you're all here. I thought no one loved me, and I felt so alone.
Oh, honey, don't you know that people always spend Christmas Eve with their loved ones? And you're the one we love the most.
Exactly my sentiments.
Bless my little Irma. You're like my own daughter.
Sure, chicken. I'd never leave you. I want to spend all of my Christmas Eves with you.
Oh, this is the best Christmas a girl ever had, surrounded by her friends. Oh, it's midnight. Is that right, Al?
Wait a minute. Look at my watch.
Al, where are you going to the window?
Watch happens to be across the street. You're right, chicken. It's 12 o'clock. Merry Christmas, chicken.
Merry Christmas, Al. And Merry Christmas, Professor Kropotkin and Mrs. O'Reilly and Richard and Jane and all our friends. Merry, Merry Christmas.
And as for me, my sentiments are the same as those of my friend Irma.
My Friend Irma is produced and directed by Cy Howard and stars Marie Wilson as Irma with Joan Banks as Jane. Park Levy writes the script with Stanley Adams and Roland McLean and is brought to you by Pepsodent Toothpaste with Arium, another fine product of Lever Brothers Company. The part of Al was played by John Brown. Hans Conried is Professor Kropotkin, Gloria Gordon was heard as Mrs. O'Reilly, and Donald Woods as Richard. Music was under the direction of Lud Gluskin. This is Wendell Niles speaking. Tune in 1 hour earlier next week and listen to the Lux Radio Theater, followed by the Pepsodent show, My Friend Irma. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That's a fun radio show right there, My Friend Irma, December 20th, 1948, starring Marie Wilson as Irma Peterson and Joan Banks as Jane. Normally, Kathy Lewis stars as Jane, and in fact, the picture that we put up on our Facebook page has Marie Wilson and Kathy Lewis. I didn't have one with Joan Banks, but in this particular episode, Joan Banks took over the role. Hans Conried, Gail Gordon, Gloria Gordon in this, John Brown. Great cast, sponsored by Pepsodent over CBS. Hope you enjoyed that. All right, it is time to name that movie, right, Lisa?
Right.
All right, we're going to give away a $25 gift card to Lou Malnati's Pizza if you can name this 1994 crime drama starring John Travolta.
Want some bacon?
No, man, I don't eat pork.
Are you Jewish?
No, I ain't Jewish. I just don't dig on swine, that's all.
Why not?
Pigs are filthy animals. I don't eat filthy animals.
Yeah, but bacon tastes good.
All right, bacon tastes good, Lisa.
You think so?
Yeah, I had some bacon this week.
Yeah?
Yeah, I normally don't eat bacon, but I had some really good bacon
and
this week.
Did it taste good?
It was fantastic.
All right.
If you can name that movie, folks, call us 312-981-7200. Name that movie, 312-981-7200. You'll win a $25 gift card to Lou Malnati's Pizza if you get through and answer it on the air live. We'll find our winner after this.
Now we are back at the WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Name That Movie. Let's hear that movie clip one more time.
What's the bacon?
No, man, I don't eat pork.
Are you Jewish?
No, I ain't Jewish. I just don't dig on swine, that's all.
Why not?
Pigs are filthy animals. I don't eat filthy animals.
Yeah, but bacon tastes good.
And we have Steve on the line from Galesburg. Hey, Steve.
Hey, that would be Pulp Fiction.
That would be Pulp Fiction. You are absolutely right. And in that movie, John Travolta, Samuel L. Jackson, and Uma Thurman all received Academy Award nominations. So it was, that was pretty special. Steve, are you a bacon fan?
Any kind of pork.
There you go.
The other white meat.
Yeah. You're a winner, Steve. You have won a $25 gift card for Lou Malnati's. You can visit one of their 42 Chicagoland locations. Check them out at loumalnati's.com. Are you a pizza fan?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Who doesn't love a great pizza, right?
Lou's, you got to get the sauce on the top.
Yeah, that's right. And it's a good deep dish pizza there with the sauce on the top. I'm a fan as well. So enjoy that.
Hmm.
That's how the deep dish comes, right? Yeah.
It's good. I like it. Yeah. I like blue molnati.
I like. What do you like on your pizza, Steve?
Toss it on except for anchovies.
There you go. No anchovies. I'm with you. All right. Thanks a lot, Steve.
Merry Christmas, Steve. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, you guys too.
Thank you. All right, Lisa.
All
nice
job. Carl.
All right. Very good. Hey, Nick Giglio is going to be coming up next. I want to tell you what's coming up next week here on the WGN Radio Theater. We're here every Sunday, Lisa. I don't know if you know that.
Well, I'm learning 35 weeks in, and I'm figuring out we are on every Sunday from 11 p.m. until 2 a.m. Monday morning.
Not bad.
And I will be here whether or not you're here. That's up to you. I will always show
I'm
up.
I'm showing up.
I'm showing up.
You're not getting the host of the show without me. That's her dream. I know that.
I like working with you,
Carl. One time I was running late, I called her, and I'm like, I'm running a little late. I may not make it to the beginning of the show.
And
you know what I said? She was giddy about it.
I said, no problem.
Yeah, she was
giddy.
She thought, oh, I'm going to get to introduce the old-time radio shows. Yep. It's going to be great. I'll get to introduce the commercials. No, listen.
Listen.
Listen, loquacious Lisa.
Yes, Carl.
Listen, loquacious.
Calamari, yes.
Yeah, that's right. Don't rib me about my name or my height.
I didn't.
My name or my height, I'm sensitive about it.
I did not bring up the height that you did.
Okay,
so
this is true. Next week, we have more Christmas shows. In fact, we're going to play Christmas shows all the way till Christmas.
Well, that makes good sense,
we'll probably
right?
play a New Year's Eve show on our New Year's show. You'll be in Florida, though, right?
I will. I'm going to miss one.
She's going to abandon us.
Little bitty WGN Radio Theater.
I mean, she's going to go on vacation with her husband and her kids. I don't understand this. This doesn't make any sense.
One
no
Sunday,
dedication at all.
And then I'm back. I know.
Absolutely
bad,
no dedication.
Bad.
Next week, we're going to tune into a Christmas episode of the Lux Radio Theater. You won't want to miss that. Also, a Christmas episode of the Whistler. Ooh, he walks by night. Because he knows many things, Lisa. And here he is. The man is here. Nick DiGiglio just walked into the studio, and he's looking good. He's got his Black Hawks.
Hi.
He's got his Black Hawks hat on.
Well, one of about 50 that I that
one
I
one of 50. And the Black Hawks won tonight?
They did.
Or last night?
Yesterday afternoon, 4 o'clock. Yeah, they did, and Kaner is now at he broke the record.
He broke the record.
Hull's record.
Yeah.
With a pretty questionable assist on an empty netter, but he got it anyway.
Hey, listen.
So it's great.
However it happens, he's the all-time leader now.
Here's how insane it is. He only has 30 more games. He has to do a 30 more game streak to tie Gretzky. That's
oh, wow.
how insane
That's
Wayne Gretzky was.
Crazy.
Wayne 30 Gretzky. More games.
The guy was amazing.
He's the best.
Right?
The great one.
He really was.
Yeah.
So what's on the show?
We got movie reviews coming up for, Chirac, the Spike Lee movie that came out this week. We'll talk about that.
And was that on demand at the same time it's in theaters?
No. That was just in theaters.
Just in theaters. Yeah. Okay. Just wondering.
And then the big surprise at the box office this week is this crazy sort of horror Christmas movie called Krampus.
I saw something about
which made
about that.
$16 million over the weekend.
Come
Nobody
on.
Expected that. Yeah.
Really?
So we'll review that.
Probably made for $200,000.
No. It's a big, I mean, it's a universal film.
Was it? Okay,
so,
it was a big film. Okay.
We'll talk about that. And it's my dad tells a joke.
Yes.
Every Monday
jokey,
morning.
Jokey.
It's joke number 100.
No, okay.
Yeah, so we're going to do a little special stuff for
that. You know, when they get to 100 in a TV series, if it makes it to 100, big party. So I think you should throw them a party.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my dad will be up for a party.
Something pretty 3 good.
3 o'clock in the morning on a Monday. But he'll be joining us a little bit earlier. Normally we do it at 4:45, so we're going to do it around 4:30.
Don't miss Nick DiGiglio. He is coming up next here on WGN.